ang tu chenpa nye sha shi kisin kare she pa re sin lu chenpa nye sha da sim chenpa nye sha an chue chenpa nye sha an di ko re shi cha ba re sin da da chenpa nye sha shi yin du ang ang tu da di ti she di lam yin wo ju be ge an lam nyam len chi gen zu yu lam yin wo ju be chenpa nye sha de shi ko re an de la da ni shi la go sin ne mi pa de le lu da cho wa da sim da chue ga ya ro chi mi ne An di gan la mi ba di mi shi te di dian du ar ga su re rang ge cinyi da ji cinyi nyi nyi ji pa jie ba jie xie ne gong bi ge zhan ba da xie rab gang rung ge du bi ge lam xiu ge qin ba de la ne zhan ba nye xia xie de on du xin ne ngu sung go ruwa di ne za da ki xin ngan zu di xie di xie xa sum xie xa re da di ngan zu xie di ma xue zhan ba nye xia di go ma xue xie
Good morning. We're continuing to look at the presentation on the four close placements of mindfulness. And from the entity which in our text is outline D, it says it's an exalted wisdom. So therefore, an actual practice of a four close placement, or an actual practice of a close placement of mindfulness is done by someone who has achieved a path. And the entity continues, or the definition continues, engaging in practicing a path included in mindfulness and wisdom, having investigated the general or specific characteristics of any of the four body, feelings, mind, and phenomena. So of those four observed objects, we've looked at body, feelings, and mind, and today we'll look at the fourth one, that of phenomena. And as before, this is approached in this, through the same way of investigating with both mindfulness and wisdom through first the specific characteristic and thereafter the four general characteristics.
So the
text is presented four practitioners who have achieved a path in their continuum and how they can engage in the meditation on the close placement of mindfulness. However, for those of us who aspire to a path, certainly, we too can engage in such meditations, and moreover, we should engage in such meditations. Whilst we can and should engage in the practice of the four close placements, we will not be engaging in an actual close placement of mindfulness because we have not achieved a path in our continuum. And amongst the various differences between a being who has achieved a path and one such as ourselves who has not, amongst those various differences, we will not hold the observed object with calm abiding, as we have not achieved calm abiding. So we will use mindfulness, but mindfulness that is not conjoined with calm abiding, whereas an actual practitioner who has achieved a path will necessarily have achieved calm abiding, and thereby their mindfulness will be conjoined with calm abiding.
Dang a zui ji dang dang a zui ge zhen ma nie xia gom se dhiyo da kar ngarang zul ya sem ya nam to mangpo ta sem ya ma ji pa mangpo dunga mangpo le dhiyo ta di niki dunga shi ya ta sem ya lho lho yung ya tuan ta la ngang zuki nchamba nya sha gom ya yorwa ta.
But for ourselves who haven't achieved a path, still this is a practice to engage in, as it's a very effective technique to overcome our mental problems and difficulties, and rather to achieve a desired state of mental calm, of mental peace. So for ourselves, we, just like those who have achieved a path, need to first know what the observed objects are, and thereafter how to meditate on them. And so for ourselves, we can, the observed objects are the four that are presented here. But within that, one can approach it in many different ways, focusing on the body, focusing perhaps just on breath, focusing on feelings, and so forth.
And in that,
A very simple way that we can do this meditation is with regard to the observed objects of feelings. Just observe whatever feeling we are experiencing. Sometimes we'll notice that the feeling of happiness or a pleasant feeling has arisen. Just observe that. Or a suffering or unpleasant feeling has arisen. Just observe that. Hold it with mindfulness, as well as another mental factor of stabilization. So with stabilization, mindfulness, just hold that feeling in an undistracted way. In this way, observe whichever feeling has temporarily arisen. The mental factor of mindfulness needs to be utilized with its companion mental factor of introspection. This is a key companion to mindfulness. Mindfulness serves to hold the object. Introspection serves to ensure that the object is being held. So the purpose of introspection is to observe vigilantly. So this mental factor that I translated introspection is sometimes translated as vigilance. And this too presents its function. It's vigilant in terms of being aware of whether mindfulness is holding its object or not. And as soon as introspection notices that one's attention has wavered from the object, then introspection alerts mindfulness, which re-engages the object, brings the attention back to the object. So these two, mindfulness and introspection, need to be utilized together. Introspection vigilantly watches the mind, and as soon as it notices the mind has wavered or awareness has wavered from the object, it alerts mindfulness, which then re-engages the object.
And in the当然就是鱼的了错的了这些都你看的定义性质的话的实际上定义性质的话这个什么的鱼这些都你的那图没办法你的要不你图也了你准备鱼的了真苦呀你真苦了怕没把的马上马上话去准备怎样的你的定义性质的话你也给你下一点我的鱼了这就你也给吃的了谁把的定义性质的话 你那个等到了占卜鱼的金对跟的了，占卜是个罗啊。其实那占卜是鱼的金对跟的了，起码就金对跟的了占卜去。但是这些都你对跟什么了？这了定义成一些，但是你个对没多，怕占卜七天的，还有大汉的信心是个罗的，信心。其实占卜信心定义是送个户口的，等下子占卜你写空的。 鱼的经验的这些，起码就把这怕经验的跟经验的，你可是真把这个两个的。但鱼的经验的经过的，可是呢，什么经验经的得了，经验经的鱼的这些你吐过嘛了？你吐一个等到鱼的嘛，这把这真别给经吐过了。你，其实那当，但那个经对对搞不了的，然后这个鱼经验经的鱼的怕现在小个对面那面那个对面的大汉的细心的人，细心的人。
So let's talk about the role of three mental factors and present it very clearly what their differing functions are. Mindfulness serves to ascertain the object. That's the role of mindfulness. Then there's a second similar mental factor of stabilization, sometimes translated as mental stabilization. And this holds the object stably, ensures that the object, you know, mindfulness ascertains the object, then stabilization holds that object stably. Then there's a third mental factor of introspection, which vigilantly observes what is happening, ensuring whether stabilization has lost or not, whether stabilization is continuing to hold the object or not, and if it loses the object, introspection alerts mindfulness to re-ascertain the object. So this is how the three, mindfulness, stabilization, and introspection work together. Mindfulness, ascertaining the object, stabilization, holding it stably, and introspection, ensuring that that is being done.
嗯，俺的那一张，就像俺做准备那些，还是的准备个鱼的钱去得了呀，得什么他妈的钱干了呀，什么他妈的鱼得了，什么当掉过来了，要得鱼得了，定义真的这些都鱼得了，这些都捏过来这个了吧的，你这，就咱定义真的，现在我是几个嘛的呢，鱼得了准备点就现在看呀，嘛什么鱼，错过了让大家准备个钱丢过来了，要得，得了准备钱丢了，先的定义真的来这些都捏住过了吧。
So I want this to be clear because our text just talks about mindfulness and wisdom. Mindfulness in our text is explicitly mentioned, but implicitly mindfulness also includes stabilization. So it's not, stabilization isn't at all, not once, specifically mentioned in the text, but I'll want to make sure that the three differing functions of mindfulness, introspection, and stabilization are clear. So mindfulness ascertains the object. That's the role of mindfulness. Stabilization holds it stably. And then introspection guards or ensures that the object hasn't been lost, that the object is still being held stably. And it's introspection that notices that the object is being held stably and notices when it is no longer, when the awareness has wavered from the object. And then it's introspection that alerts mindfulness to re-ascertain the object and thereby stabilization to re-hold it, to hold it stably once again. So in our text, when we see mindfulness being referred to, we should understand that it also infers stabilization. So the function of both together, although only mindfulness is explicitly stated. What I've been presenting here in these last few segments is more in the context of how the term mindfulness is used in society in general these days, where it's used with an object of observing the breath or observing the feelings. So this is how it's generally used in society, and this serves an important purpose in that when in society that there's talk of mindfulness practice, behind this term mindfulness, or included with this term mindfulness, are the additional mental factors of stabilization and introspection. So it tends to only be the one that's referred to, but all three are utilized. And the purpose of practices, or the benefit of a practice such as mindfulness in the way that it's utilized in society, is that so much of our mental anguish comes from over-rumination or discursive thought, our mind being so distracted, going from one thing to another, making our mental problems ever larger. So practicing mindfulness in the way that it's presented in society helps calm the mind, in that all this rumination, this abundance of discursive thought that causes us such stress and anxiety, this starts to calm. The mind starts to become a little bit more focused and a little clearer. So in this way, it helps ease the burden of mental suffering for beings. So this is the purpose and how it's utilized in society. And that serves a good purpose. However, that is not what is meant by an actual practice of a close placement of mindfulness, whether it's by someone who has achieved a path or by someone who aspires to achieve a path. That the actual practice of a close placement of mindfulness, as we've been seeing in this text, is quite a lot more profound. This way of practicing mindfulness in society does serve a very useful purpose of slowing down this process of over-conceptualizing or discursive thought, bringing the mind to a stiller place, making one feel a lot more peaceful and relaxed. And that is needed in our modern society. However, it's very likely that unless one is skillfully guided, one will remain in this peaceful, relaxing state, but the mind will actually not be very clear, will be quite foggy, quite sleepy. And this, therefore, and in such a case, whilst the meditator may feel very relaxed and peaceful, this is not an actual practice of mindfulness, because the mind is not becoming clearer, but rather becoming dull and foggy and sleepy. So therefore, I encourage you in your own practice, if you do a daily mindfulness practice, just to watch your mind and see whether, whilst a more peaceful and relaxed state of mind is certainly welcome, if it is, your mind is also becoming foggy and sleepy. If this is the case, then you need to get further guidance, because this is not the desired outcome. So it is certainly desired to tame the mind, control the mind, to calm this over-conceptualizing, but not to fall into a foggy, sleepy state. That's not the purpose of meditation.
Same 유지 세우치나 안에 숨는 뉴슈랑 알로지 슈크로지 용고 매바래 산디 내내 여반에 디소 진화세야지 시용을 당하지 제 리안 내가 주기 담배니샤 고미야기 대치 야가라한테 제거 말다 내내 여반 샘려 담배가 유디 진 제지도 내 여바 임바지야 나 내내 지디 남도 차사 시에 샘 회시시 라디 용구래 이나다 유 Jamba digi yudi zihe, yudi sebu da zihe da yudi zimbege ngar nubaro shira metiga da jiyungu gara sikuduwa.
So I just want to correct my translation here. Most of what was said was correct, but I'll say it all again and you'll see there's a bit left out. So what we need to guard ourselves against, if your practice is one of mindfulness, is that if the mind is becoming peaceful and relaxed, this is certainly welcome, but ensure that it's not becoming foggy and sleepy and dull, because this is a state of lethargy. So here, on the positive side, the mind is relaxed and peaceful, but one's mind is lethargic, foggy and dull. And also one is likely maybe to doze off and therefore not be able to meditate too long. So this is one fault to guard against. So earlier I mentioned about the object and its clarity. That was an error. Genla didn't say anything about it there. The other fault that one can fall into, so that was the fault of lethargy. The other fault is laxity. So laxity is quite different. One's holding the object, and one may have good feel that one has good concentration and one will observe the object with clarity, but the mind lacks strength. So in this type of meditation, one is not sleepy at all. One can actually remain with the object for a long period of time, but the mind lacks strength. So this, too, is not the desired outcome. This is the fault of laxity. So the first was lethargy, where one's mind becomes peaceful and relaxed, but foggy and dull and sleepy. This second problem, that of laxity, the mind here, the object is held appears clearly and can be held for a long period of time, but the mind lacks strength. So these are two one can fall off the path of actual mindfulness in either of these ways, and that is to be guarded against by being guided by a skilled teacher.
Lulia, share the sewage, na, sewage, na, che. Then, semlia, jamba de zinede, delia, and the chick zin to be couple, new shooter, new bird, and arda, then you shoot you against you. Then, the chick do to win, you and a tanga to get jamba nyasha comiadi, when it is chagor and also get cha. Chisan deniki oven, dikaze do to do chindiadi, javana, called deniki, then it chick yargir, nobody shoot church to go as it is a deniza. Di tempat ni cakap ni, kom saya di, ada lulu macam, lulu pas tempat ni cakap, kang sama tapi tempat itu di, jenis tu ni tu kepala, yu su dia pas lalu di lese gu nanti ya cecia, yu jenis ni lulu tempat ni cakap, yu di jenis tu pas nubar tu cakap, suku tu cakap, jenis nubar tu cakap, cik yo bayi na, tadi ni tu ke tempat ni cakap, kom yang ke tadi ni awak ni di, awak cakap orang dah.
What one would be striving for is not to fall off in the direction of lethargy or laxity, but rather to practice an actual close placement of mindfulness. And this is then when the object, such as the body, is held without wavering, without a distracted mind, and the object appears clearly. So, with the object being held without distraction, then the mind will, and the object appearing clearly, that's how we want the object to appear. Then the object possessor or the meditating mind This would have energy and strength. So here, one is not getting tired at all because the mind has energy and strength. Moreover, the object appears clearly. So this is what one wants. And then this would be a practice of a close placement of mindfulness. And when we are practicing well in this way, we should strive to develop this further. This is what we should be striving for, because when one's mind is gaining energy and strength from our meditation, and we are able to hold the object without distraction, the object such as the body and so forth, without distraction, then this is a close placement of mindfulness, and its great purpose for us is that it brings the attainment of actual calm abiding, of single-pointed concentration, ever closer. So now let's turn to the manner in which to meditate on the fourth observed object, that of phenomena. So firstly, you recall what is meant by phenomena. We have that on the second page. And there we have, it's all mental factors other than feelings. So all the wide variety of mental factors, either 50, are included, as well as all other non-associated compounded phenomena, all impermanent phenomena other than matter and consciousness, and thirdly, all permanent phenomena.
So 네 뒤매지게 취해서야 되게 다른에 친히 가서는 유대 길을 되먹어 봐. 제먹어 봐지. 그런 다도 그리는 주어 유네를 다도 내주겠지. 뭐 되는 시리샤 하세. 세상 에 니네게 삼다도 그거 랑이 친히 된 거 소화래.
Looking at the close placement of mindfulness on phenomena, the observed object is phenomena, and phenomena are things that exist. So if something exists, it is a phenomenon. And this, we've seen, includes everything that hasn't been presented already. So it includes all consciousnesses that haven't been presented already, all form that hasn't been presented already, actually all form was presented already, so it excludes matter, therefore, thereby, and it includes permanent phenomena. So that's what is meant by the term, the observed object, phenomena. And the way that we will approach this specifically here is that we can think about phenomena in terms of mental factors that are afflictions, such as anger, attachment, and pride. And we can also think about other consciousnesses, which are on the side not of the afflictions, but on the side of virtue, such as reflecting on impermanence, love and compassion, bodhicitta, and the various minds of a path. So all these are included within the observed object of phenomena. And as we saw with the previous three observed objects, one meditates first on the specific characteristics. So we see here that the specific characteristic is the individual entity of each mental factor and so forth. In other words, the individual entity of the phenomenon being meditated on. So if that phenomenon is impermanent, such as a mental factor, then its entity is that it is impermanent because it changes momentarily and it is dependent on causes and conditions. So that is its entity. If the phenomenon is permanent, its entity is that it is unchanging. It doesn't change momentarily, therefore it's permanent, and it is not dependent on causes and conditions. So that's a brief way to talk about the entity of phenomena by dividing phenomena into those which are impermanent and those which are permanent. When we're investigating then on the specific characteristics of phenomena, then of those observed object phenomena, we reflect that some phenomena are compounded, which means they come about in dependence on causes and conditions, and that they are impermanent, therefore they change momentarily. Other phenomena, they are uncompounded, and therefore they are permanent, and therefore they do not change momentarily, and they are not dependent on causes and conditions. So that's, as said before, we can class all remaining phenomena, those that were not included in the first three observed objects, we can include them, they are included here in phenomena, and we can divide those into those which are impermanent, those which are permanent, and in this way we've reflected on their entities, that some change momentarily, some do not, because they're permanent. Then when we come to meditating on their general characteristics, we take these two classes of phenomena, and we bring them together as one. So we bring the impermanent together, we bring the permanent together, and we bring them together into one class of phenomena. Then we come to investigate the general characteristics of phenomena. So we do so of them together, of impermanent and permanent together. And because we're looking at all remaining phenomena, impermanent and permanent together, we don't look at the first two of the general characteristics, impermanent and suffering. We just look at the third and fourth, empty of a permanent of being permanent, unitary, and independent, and selfless. Selfless in terms of lacking a self-sufficient, substantial existent self. So we just look, we bring the impermanence and permanent phenomena together, we investigate their general characteristics of phenomena, all phenomena, but we just look at the third and the fourth general characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
The third general characteristic of empty. When we investigated the previous three observed objects, the observed object of body, then of feelings, and then of mind, when you investigated them through the general characteristic of being empty, we investigated those three observed objects in the same ways. First, that the observed object itself, for example, the body or feelings or the mind, is empty of being permanent because it changes momentarily. It's empty of being unitary or single because it's dependent on parts. And it's empty of being independent because it is dependent, in particular, dependent on causes and conditions. So therefore, the observed object is empty of being permanent, unitary, and independent. Moreover, and then the second part of the meditation, the person too is empty of being permanent, unitary, and independent for those same three reasons. Therefore, the observed object of, for example, the body, is not utilized by a permanent, unitary, independent person because there is no such person. Likewise, the observed object of feelings, as well as then of mind, is not utilized by a permanent, unitary, independent person because there is no such person. So this is how we did the meditation for the previous three observed objects. It had those two steps. We first looked at how the observed object lacked or was empty of being permanent, unitary, and independent. Thereafter, we looked at how the person, too, is empty of being permanent, unitary, and independent, and therefore, no such person can utilize or make use of the observed object. Now, when we come to phenomena, the observed object of phenomena, of those two ways that one investigates to see whether it's empty or not, one doesn't do the first way, because phenomena here includes both impermanent and permanent phenomena. So one just utilizes the second step of the meditation, investigating the person, seeing whether the person is permanent and seeing that the person is not, because the person changes momentarily, seeing whether the person is unitary and seeing that the person is not, because the person is dependent on parts. And thirdly, seeing that the person is empty of being independent because the person is dependent on causes and conditions. And therefore, because the person is empty of being permanent, unitary, and independent, no such person utilizes phenomena. So the second step of the meditation, this meditation we do on the observed object of phenomena, is identical to the second step of the meditation for the previous three observed objects. The fourth general characteristic, that of selfless. Here the meditation is done in an identical manner to the previous three observed objects, in that one looks at the self and sees that the self, there is no self that is self-sufficient, substantially existent. And that's where one comes to understand selflessness. And then let's read what we've looked at here in terms of the specific characteristic of phenomena. So that's the top of page 4.4. With respect to phenomena, the individual entity of each mental factor and so forth. So that is, what is the specific characteristic of phenomena? It is whatever its individual entity is.
And 동어 코로나에 미세 잠만 이제 고고메 연구래 니나시 내신아 저게 다 매바서 지신이 다 매바 코로나에 미신에 내가 내가 소래 잠만 이제 고메 지들이 최근에시나 코로나에 미제 랑이 생기는 지신이 있다는 공부셔야 유의되어 자고래
The way we've had presented then already is the way to engage in the close placement of mindfulness on phenomena, where one takes impermanent and permanent phenomena, in other words, all phenomena, everything that exists that hasn't already been reflected on in the three previous observed objects, and reflects on them together in the way that was mentioned, their specific characteristic, and then the general characteristics of empty and selfless. So that is the way to engage in this meditation on close placement of mindfulness on phenomena. However, one can and should go into more detail, breaking up or dividing up the observed objects of phenomena into its varying parts or various illustrations. For example, on there are 50 mental factors that haven't been covered thus far, the mental factors other than feelings. So here, one can reflect on discrimination, the mental factor of discrimination, of the mental factor of intention, the mental factor of stabilization, the mental factor of contact, and so forth. So these would be illustrations of impermanent phenomena or of consciousness, mental factors other than feelings. And meditate on them through their specific characteristic, the individual specific characteristic, and the general characteristics. And one can reflect on permanent phenomena, such as space and empty. So before we had empty of a permanent unitary independent self. Here, as a permanent phenomenon, just reflect on empty. And here, one can reflect on it through its general and specific and then general characteristics.
When one divides in phenomena into individual phenomenon, then if those phenomenon, if each phenomenon is impermanent, then one investigates its specific characteristic and all four general characteristics. So for example, if it is consciousness, such as the mental factor of discrimination, one investigates its specific characteristic and all four general characteristics. If the phenomenon that is being investigated is a permanent phenomenon, such as empty, then one would investigate its specific characteristic and only two of the general characteristics, that of empty and selfless, because being a permanent phenomenon, it isn't impermanent or in the nature of suffering.
Sāmi ki dūjī ki chūyī na, dī tēn dū kār kumiyā rā sā na, rāngi tīngi yobā chē, jī tīngi na, mī tāpā kumiyā yobā chē. Tōngā sā kā sō rā, dūngā wā kumiyā yobā rā. Tā tōngā tā dāmi bā, jī tīngi sūm kumiyā yobā rā.
This phenomena, the observed object of phenomena, includes all existence. So, when engaging in the four close placements of mindfulness, all phenomena are included. Some within the category of body, some in the category of feeling, some in mind, and the rest in phenomena. So everything that exists is included here. So whether it's the observed object is an object of form, an object of consciousness, or a non-associated compound phenomena, or a permanent phenomenon, we can look at these in terms of, divide them in terms of being contaminated or uncontaminated. And this then has some slight difference in how we approach the meditation. So for all of them, whatever the observed object is, one first investigates its specific characteristic, its entity. Thereafter, one investigates the general characteristics. This procedure doesn't change. Where the change comes is which of the general characteristics one investigates the observed object through. So for most observed objects one will investigate, one will do so through all four general characteristics, but for some, only three, and some only two. If the phenomenon, the observed object that one is investigating, is a contaminated phenomenon, then one is likely to investigate it through all four general characteristics. If it's an uncontaminated phenomenon, such as the feelings in the continuum of an aria being, the form of an aria being, the mind of an aria being, and so forth, so an uncontaminated phenomenon, then one does not reflect on the second general characteristic of suffering, or in the nature of suffering, but the other three of impermanence, empty, and selfless. So there is a difference. If it's an uncontaminated phenomenon, such as mind or feelings or body of an aria being, one does not reflect on the general characteristic of suffering because that object is not in the nature of suffering. And then, if again, as mentioned in the previous segment, if the object is a permanent phenomenon, then one only reflects on the last two general characteristics, empty and selfless. But the majority of objects that one will investigate would be included in contaminated phenomena and contaminated impermanent phenomena. And those one investigates through all four general characteristics. And to be particularly clear and repeat what I said in a previous class. So when talking about Arya beings, so we have on one hand Arya Buddhas, but we don't need to look there now. Buddhas are quite special. Let's talk about the other two types of Arya beings, those which are Arya Bodhisattvas and those which are Tivadin Arya beings. So Arya Bodhisattvas all Arya Bodhisattvas, so from the path, the Mahayana path of seeing and those on the Mahayana path of meditation, their body is not in the nature of suffering, and therefore one would not investigate their body through the second general characteristic of suffering. For ordinary bodhisattvas, those on paths of accumulation and preparation, their body still is contaminated, and therefore one would investigate it through all four general characteristics. So that's bodhisattvas, Arya and non-Arya. Then the Tirvadan Aryas, whether hearers or solitary realizers, they're Arya beings who, including those who have achieved nirvana, those who are foe destroyers, but still a foe destroyer with remainder. So a foe destroyer with remainder, as well as a solitary realizer or hearer, Arya beings, their body is still contaminated. So their body, one would investigate through all four general characteristics. The exception is for the Arahat, or the foe destroyer, who's achieved nirvana without remainder. Their body is not in the nature of suffering, and their body then would not be investigated through the general characteristic of suffering. But Tirvadan Aryas, including the foe destroyer who has achieved nirvana with remainder, their bodies are still in the nature of suffering. So that's just presenting it in finer detail. Those who engage in the actual close placement of mindfulness meditations are those who have achieved a path. And whether they are a hero or a solitary realizer or a bodhisattva, from the path of accumulation right up to the attainment of their goals, that the final goal even of Buddhahood, all these practitioners from any of the three types who has achieved a path of accumulation until and including the attainment of the final path of no more training, here the practitioners engage in the actual four close placements of mindfulness. Those who have achieved a path of accumulation, the first of the five paths, whether of the hero type, solitary realizer type, or bodhisattva type, they primarily engage in the meditation on the four close placements. And all three types on the path of accumulation will engage in first the specific and then the general, the meditation via the specific characteristic and then the general characteristics. And amongst the general characteristic, the one of their primary focus, primary attention, will be on that of selfless.
And dame bal mi bi shinye zo shin tu ko le shinye tu ko le dame bal le shinye tu ne ne shinye tu ya ge chi de ne ji sin ye dame ba so le de le mi bi ge de shinye tu zo shinye to ya chi do be zo shin zo kong ko wa da shinye top cha wa ina da dame bal mi bi shinye top cha ma ina ya de le ya dame bal le zo kong ko har se ne dame bal mi bi sa dong to yo ma le zhe zang ma to wa yin zang Shinye, Shinye Dike, that is Rangye Tsengye, then Lule, Mima in Aja, Miba de Lule, Mine, Lugi to the Chi Tsengye Dame Bokomiada, Miba de Soale Mise, Dit in the Chi Tsengye Dame Bokomia, Miba de Anangar Gosore, Semla Mise, Dit in the Chi Tsengye Dame Bokomet, Dai Ditches and Shinye Tobio Baina, Delia Dame, Chi Tsengye Shinye La Mise, Gasa Dame by the Missim, Tesit, Dinzi, Nishin Bengane, Delia, Jambiga, Semdi, and sem chi choma chuba che denbi zin je andele sherapki jala jeba chi gorwa jeba chi sa la tong du gore chi sa dine ge komyo de an chi chin ye la mi go zo go mo chi sa di dela mi ne shi ni she da me ba mi bi shi la song de du go gore chi sa di du bi ge de zo go mo gorwa di du go ba de ge la ne da me ba mi shi la song de ma to ba ina nian de cho lam ba de gi 年纪就那么突突过嘛，其实我多把眼一着火了，年纪就那么就过突过了哇，都就过突过了，嗯，大面把了米皮给米把的绿了米拿着搓好了没，生了米拿，缺了米米把干的米白呢，第一顿的几层呀，大面把的了，米心里特别呢，你心里特别吃多多白水切，那个米啊，心里特别呢，准备给点些准备进点了，那些那个结巴些些，拉动头也给端到了，我都是那些拉松的工。
ご宮家特別チルド、ゾウコンゴールディーンザンエ、タメ、ジーチェンエネナタメパティ、ゾウコンゴールセディキムセンデルディー。ダンアジュテ、タメンバセナダ、ニャンデュソランバラフシャンディグロワ。テチェンデ、ニャンデュソランバセデ。ニャンデュソランバデアレ、カソランジェソランバジバレダ。
Here and solitary realize the practitioners who have achieved the path of accumulation, they will make great effort in the practice of the four closed placements of mindfulness, and they will do so through the four observed objects, and on those four observed objects, whilst they will investigate the specific characteristic of each, as well as the general characteristics, their main energy will be placed on the meditation of selfless, in relation to this observed object of this close placement of mindfulness. And they will be doing so, realizing selflessness each time, and then trying to hold that realization of selflessness with calm abiding. Because being on the path of accumulation, they will already have calm abiding, but probably on holding only for coarser objects. Now, each time they realize selflessness, they're trying to hold it with single points of concentration, with calm abiding. Eventually, through training like this, the subtle object of selflessness, the hero or solitary realizer will be able to hold it with calm abiding. But when they achieve that, they will continue, though, with this meditation on the four close placements of mindfulness, exactly the same technique through the four various observed objects, reflecting on the specific and general characteristics, but primarily on the characteristic of selflessness, each time realizing selflessness, holding it with calm abiding, and then trying to investigate further. Because what they're doing here is trying to develop the union of calm abiding and penetrative insight, or meditative insight, which is where the object, selflessness, is held single-pointedly without any distraction with calm abiding. And one can investigate, analyze, without losing the object at all. Because usually, when one holds an object, one cannot investigate, because then one loses the object. So here they're trying to hold selflessness with calm abiding and investigate. And that's take some training, and eventually they can. And when they can, they have achieved the union of calm abiding and meditative insight, investigating selflessness whilst holding it single-pointedly, investigating it. And that is the boundary That means the hero or solitary realizer crosses to the second of the five paths, the path of preparation. So that is why this is the close placements of mindfulness is a primary meditation for a hero or solitary realizer practitioner on the path of accumulation. And they engage in this meditation principally focusing on the general characteristic of selfless of any of the observed objects. So that's a presentation for the two types of Tibetan practitioners on the path of accumulation. And they proceed in the same way. Then on the Bodhisattva path of accumulation, here there are a variety of types of Bodhisattvas, as we looked at in an earlier class, different types of Bodhisattvas in terms of their lineage, and whether they, because of their lineage, they had come to the Bodhisattva path directly or via the Tibetan paths. So let's first look at the type of practitioner who has come to the Bodhisattva path of accumulation after having already achieved the state of a hero or solitary realizer, arhat. So he's already achieved the state of a foe destroyer. Thereafter, he has generated bodhicitta and has now entered newly into the bodhisattva path of accumulation. Now such a practitioner who has already completed the Tibetan paths and has achieved the level of foe destroyer, has completely abandoned afflictions together with their seeds, now has entered the bodhisattva path of accumulation. This bodhisattva does not need to focus on meditating on selflessness, trying to get hold of the calm abiding and thereafter with penetrative insight, as they have already done this. They have already achieved the Tibetan path, completed it, and achieved the state of foe destroyer. So they already have a union of calm abiding and meditative insight, realizing selflessness. So on their path of their Mahayana path of accumulation, their primary focus is on accumulating merit. And this is done through meditating on bodhicitta, generosity, and so forth. So, for the bodhisattva on the path of accumulation who has come there via the Tivadin attainment of arhatship, they on the bodhisattva path of accumulation primarily focus on accumulating merit through meditating on bodhicitta and generosity and so forth, because they already have a union of calm abiding and meditative insight, realizing selflessness.
The other bodhisattvas on the path of accumulation, they have not achieved the state of Tivadin Pro-Destroyer, of Tivadin Arhat. So therefore, on their path of accumulation, they will meditate primarily on the four close placements of mindfulness, on the specific characteristic of any of the four observed objects, and thereafter on the general characteristics of the observed object. There is, though, a difference here in terms of how they approach the general characteristics from what we've heard previously. So they reflect on the objects, the observed objects' impermanence, suffering, empty and selfless, but primarily they focus on the emptiness of the observed object. So just to be clear, the Tivadin practitioner on the path of accumulation will primarily focus on the general characteristic of selfless. The bodhisattva on the path of accumulation will primarily focus on the general characteristic of emptiness. So the bodhisattva will meditate on all four general characteristics, but in addition will primarily focus on emptiness. So that is a key difference. Then the way they proceed on the path of accumulation is the same as for the hero or solitary realizer on their path of accumulation. They will realize emptiness, try to hold it with calm abiding, because they would have already achieved calm abiding, but probably on a coarser object, already achieved calm abiding in order to achieve a path of accumulation. Now, they will, each time they realize emptiness, they will try to hold it with calm abiding. Eventually, they'll be able to do this. But then, whilst holding the realization of emptiness with calm abiding, they won't be able to investigate without losing calm abiding. So therefore, they will try to do so until they achieve the union of calm abiding and meditative insight on the object
the subtle object of emptiness. Because here, just like with the Theravadin practitioners, this is the bridge to cross to the path of preparation. The bridge, again, is the union of calm abiding and meditative insight on the subtle object of emptiness. What I've been presenting here is in accordance with the Svatantika Madhyamaka tenet. The Svatantikas who will differentiate between how the practitioners of the hero and solitary realize a lineage on the path of accumulation, what they primarily meditate on, that of selflessness, the general characteristic of selfless, and bodhisattvas on the Mahayana path of accumulation, who will primarily meditate on emptiness. So this differentiation is made by the Svatantika Madhyamakas. The Prasangika Madhyamakas, on the other hand, they don't make that differentiation. They say that all practitioners, whether of the hero lineage, of the solitary realizer lineage, or of the bodhisattva lineage, will primarily focus here on the emptiness, on emptiness, or, to express it differently, the selflessness of phenomena. Whichever lineage or practitioner they are, they will focus, they'll meditate on the specific characteristic of the observed object, on the four general characteristics that we have here, impermanent, suffering, empty, and selfless, but primarily on emptiness or selflessness of phenomena. That is the Prasangika view.
Jera Mawana, Dodebaina, Chivade, Dame Vatimato, Tomba Yishio Marocasore, Ranger to visit to the Tonga Chis, Mianjo Solambada, Jesu Simbergas Solambada, and the Ranger Solamba, Chasan Chivade Chis, and you come at the Ranger to visit to the Tonga de Jandu Jera Mawana, Dodebaina.
Of the tenet school, so that was the Madhyamaka school with its two divisions of Svatantika and Prasangika and their different understanding. Two other tenet schools, those are the Vaibhashika and Svatantika, they state that all three types of practitioners, all three lineage of practitioners, hero, solitary realizer, and bodhisattva, also meditate primarily on the same general characteristic, but that general characteristic is selfless, the characteristic of selfless. They don't talk about emptiness. They make no reference to emptiness at all. It's not something they present. So Vaibhashika and Svatantika, the great exposition school and the sutra school, they say that the three lineages of practitioners primarily meditate on the general characteristic of selfless. Then the final school, the Chittamatrans, or the mind only, they say something similar to what we've already heard, that the two Tivadin lineages, the hearer and solitary realizer, will meditate on the specific characteristic and the four general characteristics of each observed object, focusing on primarily on selfless, the self or the person being empty of being self-sufficient, substantially existent. So that they say. And they say the Bodhisattva, though, has a different primary focus. The Bodhisattva will meditate on the specific characteristic and the four general characteristics of the observed object, but they will primarily focus on the selflessness of phenomena.
So now we've looked at the first outline, that of observed objects, as well as now most of the second outline, the way to perform this meditation on the four observed objects through each observed object's specific characteristic, as well as its four general characteristics. So this is the shared or common way to meditate on the four close placements of mindfulness.
way then for ourselves to meditate on this topic is to take then, for example, the first observed object, that of the body. So one reflects first on its specific characteristic, the entity of the body being that it's comprised of elements and composites of elements. So that here we look at the various compounds that or elements of this body. Thereafter, we reflect on its four general characteristics, reflecting that it is impermanent because it changes momentarily. This means this body that we value so is unstable, it's unreliable, it's degenerating moment by moment. Moreover, it is in the nature of suffering, and it is so because it was attained due to contaminated karma that had been accumulated due to the afflicted minds. And therefore, because it came from causes and those causes are contaminated, this body is in the nature of suffering, which means as long as we have this body, we will experience suffering. Thirdly, this body is empty of being permanent because it changes momentarily. It's empty of being unitary because it's dependent on parts. It's empty of being independent because it's dependent on causes and conditions. Fourthly, the person is not self-sufficient, substantially existent. And because no such person that is self-sufficient, substantially existent exists, our body is not utilized or used by such a person. So that's how we meditate on the four general characteristics. And then in conclusion in the meditation, we recognize that it is a wrong consciousness that perceives the self to be self-sufficient, substantially existent. It's a wrong consciousness that relates to the self as if it were the person, the body, sorry. It's a self. It's a wrong consciousness that relates. It's wrong consciousnesses that relate to the body as being permanent, as being unitary, as being independent. And therefore, those wrong consciousnesses can be abandoned. And because this body is impermanent, we must utilize what remains of this life well to overcome these wrong consciousnesses. And thereby come to abandon this true suffering, which is our body. This afternoon, then, we'll continue with the text and we'll look at the uncommon way to meditate on the four close placements of mindfulness. And or to express that differently, we'll look at the unique way that bodhisattvas engage in this meditation. Thank you very much.